The following program is not a production of Audio Journal. External programs like this are selected with the interests of our audience in mind and with the goal to inform and entertain. The opinions expressed on this program do not reflect the views and opinions of Audio Journal, its board of directors, staff, or volunteer readers. Thank you for listening to Audio Journal.
This program is intended for a print-impaired audience and is brought to you by Mind's Eye.
Hello and welcome to the Funny Pages. My name's Greg Conroy. You ready to have some fun? I hope so. We're going to start off with the duplex. The doctor is talking to Eno Camino, who is sitting on the edge of the exam table, dressed only in his yellow boxers. His bare chest is nearly hairless, and his pot belly is prominent. The doctor is nearby holding a clipboard in his hands. As he points out, "You have a bad toenail fungus." Eno looks down at his toe and asks, "Are you sure?" The next frame shows a giant mushroom growing out of his foot. The doctor replies, "Yeah, pretty sure." Gross. Deflocked. Mamet the sheep is walking on a sidewalk when he looks up at a sign over a door that reads, "Flyby, Wi-Fi, lowest internet rates." Another sign on the front door reads, "Deals, deals, switch now, deals." He walks in and he's confronted by two doors. One door has a sign that reads, "New customers," while the other sign on the second door reads, "Current customers." Mamet walks through the new customers door where he encounters the entire staff pouring champagne, playing music, and singing, welcoming new customer, woo, party, party, whoop, whoop, whoop. Then the crowd picks up Mamet on their shoulders as they shout, "Enjoy your cash, booze, and free armadillo." Don't ask. In the next frame, he's standing outside the doors with Yes and Armadillo in his arms while thinking, "I've already forgotten my account password." So this time he looks at the signs on the doors and walks through the door marked "For Current Customers" and discovers it's a sheer drop off down a steep hill as he's free falling through the air. Oh, jeez. It does feel like that sometimes, doesn't it? Non sequitur. A man is standing on a rock inside of a cave, drawing a picture on a cave wall. In the picture, he's drawing a woolly mammoth upside down, having just been killed by the artist. A small drawing of the artist is standing on top of the woolly mammoth, celebrating. Two other cavemen are watching this. One says, "He says it's just resume embellishment." Lola. Our favorite senior citizen is at the doctor in the exam room. The doctor has put his stethoscope on her back. He says, "Okay, Lola, take a deep breath." Lola inhales. "Ooh." The doctor then says, "And let it out." Lola winces as she exhales a stream of obscenities. The doctor, "Just your breath, not your inner thoughts." Lola smiles. "Wow, I feel better." Marmaduke. Phil, the big dog's owner, is enjoying his dinner at the kitchen table. As he's about to take a bite, Marmaduke unceremoniously drops his dog food dish on top of Phil's lap. The dog looks up at his owner with concern. Phil looks at Marmaduke and remarks, "I'll take your word for it that it tastes funny." Ziggy. Our diminutive friend has just ripped off yesterday's page from his calendar. The new page announces Monday. Ziggy says, "One good thing you can say about Mondays. They make us appreciate all the other days of the week." Amen. Of course, I'm retired. I don't care. They're all the same. Garfield. Our favorite feline is lying on his back on the kitchen table. He thinks, "I am really relaxed." "How relaxed am I, you ask?" "I am so relaxed that I could technically be classified as a liquid." The Argyle sweater. In a world populated by mosquitoes, a policeman mosquito is talking to a detective mosquito. They are standing in a restaurant, which is a crime scene. There is food or blood spattered all over the walls, the floor, and the dead mosquito lying on the floor by the table. The detective mosquito says to the police mosquito, "Could be murder. Could be just you over eight. We're still trying to sort it out, Corelli." Pickles. Earl is thinking, "When I was young, it was my elders who knew all about how things worked and could explain it all to me. I looked forward to someday growing old and wise and being able to explain things to young folks." He leans over the chair where his grandson Nelson is sitting at the computer. Nelson explains to his grandfather, "And then all you do is click here to restart." Aggravated, Earl thinks to himself, "Somehow it just didn't work out that way." Pearls before swine. Goat and Rat are talking to Pig. Goat, "Hey, Pig, how goes it?" Pig smiles and replies, "Good, finally lost a few pounds." Goat, "How'd you do it?" Pig starts skipping away and says over his shoulder, "Stopped carrying around so much guilt." Goat turns to Rat and remarks, "I wouldn't think that was quantifiable." Rat looks at his body and continues, "I could lose half my body weight." Zits. Jeremy is getting ready for school. He has his pants on and is digging around in the dryer trying to find a shirt. He pulls out his typical plaid shirt and starts to put it on. The shirt is extremely small. It's all bunched up around his neck and around his shoulders. He walks up to his mother and asks, "Does this shirt look like it needs to be ironed?" The Family Circus. Dolly is explaining some rules to her younger brothers, Jeffy and PJ. She explains, "We have to be quiet in libraries, in church, and when Mommy's driving." Sally Forth. Sally is sitting on her bed, talking on her cell phone to her sister, Jackie. Sally, "Jackie, Mom just showed up at my house with a lot of luggage. Care to explain?" Jackie, "I had a feeling that's where she was headed." Sally, "Wait, you knew and didn't give me a heads up?" Jackie tries to backpedal. "I'm sorry. I wasn't certain. If she went there, you'd call." Sally, annoyed, "Instead of you calling me to say Mom just left the house, I don't know where she went." Jackie, "She's not a kid. You keep telling me not to treat her like a kid. What am I supposed to do?" Rhymes with Orange. The text box reads, "The mission." Inside a space station, two astronauts wearing spacesuits are sitting in seats while looking at the controls on the ship's console. The hatch opens, and a third astronaut enters carrying a cat, who is also wearing a spacesuit. The astronaut holds up the cat and says, "You ask me how to boost our social media engagement?" He continues, "Yes, the litter box is nailed down." Okay. Mutts. Mooch the cat is thinking, "This is my maybe I'll scratch the furniture face." Frank, sitting on the edge of the couch, stops reading his book, looks down at the cat with a glare in his eye. Mooch looks up at him innocently. He then thinks, "Or maybe not." Macanudo, the older witch, is talking to us. She is drawn only in black and white. She explains, "Dear reader, we need you to shake this comic strip so that the colors will stick to us again." In the next frame, two witches and three small elves, all drawn in only black and white, are wiggling back and forth. Around them, globs of myriad colors are floating in the sky. In the final frame, the same witch glares at the audience and says, "You call that shaking? Put some muscle into it." High and Lois. High is wearing a suit while reading a newspaper as he drinks a cup of coffee. Lois is retrieving a bowl of cereal from a cupboard. She turns to her husband and announces, "They're having a sale at the jeweler's." High doesn't look up as he replies, "So?" Lois smiles and replies, "Our anniversary is coming." High looks up and replies, "So is our mortgage bill." Dustin. Ed, Dustin's father, has just had a shower. He's standing on the bathroom scale, holding a towel around his waist. He looks down at the number and thinks to himself, "Time to make some changes." He walks into the kitchen, finally dressed, and pours himself a cup of coffee. He says to his wife, "I switched our scale to the metric system." Oh, that's a good one. Blondie, Dagwood has just come home from work. Blondie, his wife, and Daisy, the family dog, have met him at the door. Dagwood, the boss gave his usual pep talk to everybody in the conference room this morning. Dagwood hangs up his coat and takes off his jacket while continuing. But right off the bat, he nailed me with a rubber band to get my attention. He always likes some sort of warm-up exercise to kick things off. Blondie and Daisy look surprised. Bizarro. A young Edgar Allan Poe, dressed in a little black suit with a bow tie, is sitting at a desk. There is an inkwell in front of him and some paper. Oddly, he's holding a tablet in his hands. Next to him, perched on a cabinet, is a raven. Edgar looks at the bird with exasperation. Edgar, I heard you the first 10 times. The bird replies, never mind. The text box reads, Edgar Adolescent Poe. Oh. Okay, that's okay. That's pretty good. Beetle Bailey. Beetle walks into Sarge's office and announces, the tank is fixed, but now I need to bring in your Jeep. Sarge looks up from his computer. For a tune-up? In the next frame, outside of the barracks, the tank has driven over Sarge's Jeep, crushing it. All four wheels are sticking out sideways. Through the window, Beetle says to Sarge, no, I had a little trouble parking. Mother Goose and Grim, the yellow dog, and Ralph, the other dog in the family, are standing in the garage looking at Mother Goose's car. Grim remarks, boy, Mom's car is old. Ralph asks, why? Grim leans against the car and points at one of the headlights, which looks yellow. He says, even her headlights have cataracts. The Other Coast. A dog husband and a dog wife are looking at family pictures on a computer screen. The wife says to her husband, in every photo, your head is tilted sideways and you have a quizzical look. The Duplex. Eno Camino is sitting in a chair in a man's office being interviewed. The man behind the desk looks at Eno's resume and asks, what are your strengths? Eno smiles and says, I can do 4.5 push-ups. The man clarifies, I meant, what are the strengths you bring to this job? Eno thinks for a moment and then says, I can bring my dog, Fang. He can do 1 chin-up. Drabble. Ralph is sitting on the couch looking at his phone. His wife, June, also known as Honey Bunch, is sitting next to him reading a book. Wally, the wiener dog, is lying on the back of the couch. Ralph finds something interesting on his phone and says to his wife, hey, now we're talking. How to get instant sciatica relief. He turns to his wife and says, you know you're getting older when everyone you follow on TikTok is a physical therapist. Deflocked. Mamet, the sheep, approaches Cobb, the tall dog, and announces excitedly, hey, Cobb, is it maple sugaring season yet? Is it? Is it? Is it? Is it? Is it? Cobb replies, yes, Mamet, why are you acting like that? Mamet, each year you get way too excited about maple sugaring time, so I'm just trying to get in front of your annoying glee. Cobb replies, but now you're the one being annoying. Mamet becomes excited. Ooh, I love discovering unintended benefits. Non sequitur. We're in a workroom where tombstones are surrounding 2 desks, some stacked, some leaning against the walls or desks. A bulletin board on one wall displays the varied sizes of tombstones available. 2 fellows, 1 each, are at the desks working with a chisel and a hammer. One of the men is staring at the tombstone while he grips the mallet and chisel in each hand, but is only poised to commence. The other workman is chanting, date of birth, date of death. Boom! Problem solved. Now move on. The text box reads, the voice of writer's block experience. Lola. Ray, Lola's grown son, is sitting at the kitchen table drinking a cup of coffee. His mother has come down from just waking up wearing a red robe. Ray, you look awful, mother. Lola, I had nightmares. Ray replies, oh, sorry, do you remember what they were about? Lola is shakily pouring a cup of brew. She replies, about someone asking me questions before I had my coffee. Marmaduke. Phil and Dottie, the big dog's owners, are sitting in easy chairs in the living room. Marmaduke's large bowl of food has been dumped in Phil's lap. Dog food kibble is around Phil's feet, and the bowl and most of its contents are in Phil's lap. Meanwhile, Marmaduke is strolling into the kitchen away from Phil, who tells his wife, "No more cheap brands. We're going back to bar food dog food brand." Ziggy, our little friend, is watching television, and from the TV we hear, "In international news, the world's smallest country just developed the world's largest nuclear bomb." Garfield, the great feline, is looking at us with his finger in the air, and he's smiling while thinking, "They say money can't buy happiness." In the next frame, Garfield continues, "That is so not true." In the final frame, he has a big grin on his face when he announces, "It can buy bacon. Hello." Baby Blues. Daryl and Wanda are brushing their teeth in the bathroom at their double vanity. "Daryl, I want you to go to that writer's conference, Wanda." She replies, "It's not practical. I'd have to leave in 2 days and it would be way too expensive." Daryl, "Nonsense. I'm checking flights." He then looks up at Wanda and announces, "Maybe I accidentally typed in flights on SpaceX by mistake." Wanda, "Forget it. It's fine." The Argyle Sweater. A racehorse is running like a human on a treadmill that is shaped like the letter O. A carrot on a stick is suspended on a string in front of the horse, just out of reach. Other humans are running on normal treadmills nearby in the gym. The front window advertises a sign, "Big Tim's Gym." Pearls Before Swine. Pig and Rat are at the bar. Pig, "Do you think the vaccine is an attempt by Bill Gates to implant us with microchips that track us?" Rat, "Of course. How else would he track us?" "Oh, other than by using..." In the next frame, he screams the end of his sentence, "The phone that's in your hands!" Pig is so surprised, he flies off the bar stool and passes out on the floor. Rat then turns to Goat on the next stool. "Rat, I may need new blood pressure pills." Pickles. Nelson, Earl's grandson, is on the sofa looking at a cell phone. Roscoe, the family dog, is asleep on the sofa, and Earl is leaning over the top of the sofa when he points out to Nelson, "You kids may know all about your tablets and texting and stuff, but we old folks know how to do things you kids can't even dream of." Nelson, "Like what?" Earl, "Well, like how to change the ink ribbon on a typewriter." Nelson, "Wow, that's so cool, Grandpa. What's a typewriter?" Oh, my goodness. Zits. Jeremy is in the bathroom while looking about. The entire sink surface of the vanity is filled with things like toothbrushes, toothpaste, and there are two disheveled towels hanging on a rack behind him. Meanwhile, a hand soap dispenser and the faucet could use a little cleaning. In the next frame, he's in his bedroom where he meets his father, Walt, and announces, "You call that bathroom clean?" He points to his own unkempt bed and exclaims, "I've seen owls that can make a better bed than that." Walt has a question mark floating over his head. Jeremy continues, "Mom got a phone call, so I'm yelling at myself while she's busy." Family Circus. Jeffy is ready to go outside to play in the cold. His mommy is dressing him warmly with a scarf and a hat. Jeffy points out, "I'm just going out in the backyard, Mommy, not to the North Pole." Sally Forth. Hillary comes upon her grandmother, Laura. Hillary, "Oh, hey, Grandma." Laura replies, "Hey, sweetie." Laura has come to their house unexpectedly to stay because she no longer can put up living with Hillary's sister, Jackie. Hillary, "I didn't know you were coming over." Laura, "I didn't either until just a little while ago." Ted enters the room. Hillary says to Ted, "Did you kidnap Grandma? How does the ransom even work in this scenario?" Ted, "Trust me, I did not bring her here." Laura, "I can hear you." Mutts. Earl the dog is in the first frame, and he appears happy. He points out, "This is my let's go play face." In the next frame, he appears serious as he remarks, "Whoops, it's missing something." In the final frame, he's clenching a tennis ball in his teeth. Macanudo. You recall that the color had all gone out of this comic strip lately when the witches took the elves in search of the lost colors they believe had run away to the woods. They found the colors. All the faces filled with colors were there in the woods. The older witch is encouraging the readers of this strip to grip the newspapers in their hands and shake.
That's such an analog way.
Anyway, in the second frame, all the colors are mingling amidst the witches and the elves. A sound is emanating from the melee. In the final frame, they all have their color back. The witch nods to us and says, "Thank you." Dustin. Fitz, Dustin's friend, is sitting at a desk reading a book. Dustin enters the room with a canned beverage. He pops the top and says, "Hey, dude, is that a dictionary?" Fitz, "I'm just checking what a waitress told me. She said if I looked up gullible in the dictionary, my picture would be there." Dustin rolls his eyes. Blondie. Dagwood is sitting on a park bench talking to a clown who's dressed in a white shirt, suspenders, blue pants, polka-dotted shoes, clown white makeup with a big red nose, and a yellow bow tie. He also has a boutonniere. Dagwood, "How's the clown biz?" The clown replies, "Terrible. I had to double my balloon animal prices to keep up with inflation." The clown continues, "It's kind of like inflation." Dagwood replies, "Ha, good one." In the final frame, we're at Dagwood's office, where two of his colleagues are standing at the water cooler. Dagwood is also there with a small cone-shaped cup, also sipping water. But he's wearing one of the clown's balloon animals around his head. It's almost like a dog balloon. One colleague asks, "You paid how much for that balloon animal?" The other man adds, "Oh, I get it. Inflation. Dagwood exclaims, "Bingo." Meanwhile, Mr. Dithers has a puzzled look on his face as he peeks around the wall and looks in the door to see what's going on. Bizarro. A scowling woman is standing in a work cubicle while holding a sheaf of papers. She does not appear happy. She is confronting a man in the cubicle sitting behind a desk. He is dressed casually and is also holding a sheaf of papers. There's a calendar on the wall as well as photos and a paper file on the desk. There are various photos pinned on the walls of the cubicle and a cup of coffee on the desk. The man looks at the sheaf of papers and says to the woman, "Phoned it in? Sweet. Last year's evaluation said I was just mailing it in." Beetle Bailey. Privates Killer and Beetle are chatting. Beetle, "It looks like we'll be having MREs for dinner tonight." MREs are pre-prepared packaged food for camping. It's not very tasty. In the final frame, Cookie Jowls, the mess hall cook, walks by carrying a fishing rod in one hand and a fishing tackle box in the other. Cookie is also wearing his chef's hat. He's unshaven and he appears sad. Beetle continues, "Cookie didn't catch anything." Mother Goose and Grimm. A waitress is behind the counter of a diner, carrying a pad in her hand. She's wearing an apron and is ready to take Grimm and Ralph's order. Grimm has a big, silly smile on his face as he announces, "We'd like to buy a cheeseburger with fries." Ralph is also smiling. In the final frame, the waitress points out, "Sorry, we only take cash." Oh. Groan. The Other Coast. Sakura, the small dog, who lives in the same house as Coco, is with her owner, the wife, who's holding a dog tie that resembles a teddy bear. The wife, "Sakura, I bought you a new dog tie." She continues, "And it also comes with a warranty." In the final frame, Sakura has the dog tie on the floor and is ripping it apart. The husband approaches and asks, "How long is the warranty?" The wife replies, 30 seconds. Duplex. Ino Camino and Fang, the yellow dog, are both having beers at the bar. Ino, "Today is the day I get back in the gym." In the second frame, Ino continues, "No more stalling, no more equivocating." Ino, "I've made up my mind.
Yes, I'm determined to get back in the gym sometime this month. Man, oh man, does that sound like me? Travel. Ralph is sitting in his easy chair munching potato chips from a bowl that's in his lap. He looks at Wally the wiener dog and then says, "Wally, go get it." Wally's ears fly straight up. He spins around, ready to brush off, and then he stops and says, "Go get what?" Wally's no dummy. Deflocked. Mamet, the sheep, and Cobb, the tall dog, are in the backyard. Mamet introduces Cobb to an environmental activist. "Mamet, this is Sievert. She's an environmental activist." Sievert is another sheep, and she's carrying a clipboard. Mamet continues, "I told her about how you like to mutilate trees." Cobb, "I tap trees, Mamet, which does not harm the trees." Mamet looks at Sievert and announces, "You've seen the monster." Sievert walks off saying, "Gonna need a bigger bullhorn." Non sequitur. In the lower level of a mall, there is a large display labeled Midlife Mall Directory. There are two maps. The first one shows a diagram of all of the stores with a single dot, noting you are here. Below that is a map of the parking lot with another dot, noting your mojo is here. A variety of different men and women carrying shopping bags are looking at the directory. Lola. Sitting at a bar enjoying a beer are Eno Camino from the Duplex comic strip and Lola herself. He's not exactly handsome. He has greasy hair and a big nose. He is nursing a beer. He smiles at Lola and remarks, "Hey, are you into younger men?" Lola replies, "If they come with steak and lobster and a $500 bottle of wine." The man is dumbstruck. He thinks for a moment and then holds up something in his hand. "I got a half-full Pez dispenser and you can finish my beer." Lola turns back to her own drink and says, "Ooh, so close." Marmaduke. Phil, the big dog's owner, is standing in his driveway next to a red sedan that is flipped sideways onto its passenger side doors on the street. Marmaduke is sitting on the driver's side door with a sorry look on his face. Phil gestures to the dog and turns to his neighbor and says, "Marmaduke leaned too far out the window." You're listening to the Funny Pages. My name's Greg Conroy. This is brought to you by the good folks at Mind's Eye Organization. Ziggy. Our little friend is sitting in his easy chair reading a newspaper. His parrot is on its perch behind him, looking down at his food container attached to his perch, filled with nuts. Ziggy smiles and says to his pet, "You know, when it comes to iconic cartoon animals, you and Snoopy have a lot in common." The bird frowns and points at his food dish, saying, "Other than we both work for peanuts." Garfield. Our favorite feline is reading a letter that Odie the dog received for his advice column. Garfield. "Dear Ask a Dog, my veterinarian told me to stop giving my dog bacon. What should I do?" Odie the dog holds up two fingers as a reply. Garfield. "I agree." He turns to us and holds up his index paw, saying, "Get a second opinion." The Argyle Sweater. A tiger is standing upright in front of a full-length mirror while putting on a coat. The pattern on the coat consists of large, misshapen circles that fit together, similar to the skin of a giraffe. Next to him on the hanger is a long, skinny sleeve with the same pattern on it. The tiger looks in the mirror and calls out to his wife, "What the, honey? You picked up the wrong dry cleaning again." Pickles. Opal is in the backyard. Her grandson, Nelson, is playing with Roscoe, the family dog. Roscoe is holding one of his toys in his mouth, while Nelson is tugging on the other end. Opal says to her grandson, "It's time for dinner, Nelson. Go wash your hands." Nelson holds up his hands, saying, "But my hands aren't dirty." "Opal, they are dirty. You've been touching the dog." Roscoe, still holding the end of his dog toy, thinks to himself, I don't take offense at comments like that. I just lick her toothbrush. Pearls before swine. Pig and Goat are sitting at the counter chatting. Goat is enjoying his tea. Pig, what do you think is the key to success? Goat replies, the key is to bet on yourself in life. Pig, I can do that. Goat, great. Pig writes the following on a piece of paper. I bet I lose. He says to Goat, I've never felt so confident. Zits. Connie, Jeremy's mom, is in the kitchen looking through a cookbook on the counter. Jeremy is sitting next to her looking at his phone. Connie, what sounds good for dinner? Meatloaf, spaghetti, chicken and dumplings, bacon burgers? Jeremy gets up and says, sure. He leaves the room. Connie shouts after him, those were choices, not courses. The family circus. Mommy and Daddy are sitting in the living room, having put the kids to bed. Jeffy comes down in his pajamas and says to them, can somebody come get in bed with me? I feel all lonely. Aww. What a cutie. Sally Forth. Sally is on her phone talking to her sister Jackie. What happened, Jackie? Why did Mom suddenly leave? Jackie, because we were fighting. We're always fighting. Sally replies, because you're always dismissing her. Jackie says into her phone, this coming from the person who wants to shove her in an Uber and send her right back to me? The final frame says, meanwhile, in the kitchen, Sally's mother, Laura, is talking to her granddaughter, Hillary. Hillary says, how are things? Her grandmother replies, awful. For starters, no one has offered me a drink yet. She's a tough one. Rhymes with orange. The text box reads, the ward. A monk with a bald head, except for a small ponytail in the back, is wearing an orange and brown robe. He is sitting on an examination table in a doctor's office. The doctor, also a Tibetan monk, is standing next to a table filled with a mortar and pestle and various herbs, showing his patient an x-ray of his chest. On the other side of the x-ray is a stack of six different stones of varying sizes, stacked precisely one on top of each other. The doctor points at the x-ray and says to his patient, it's remarkable how you're handling the kidney stones. The patient replies, meditation helps to keep things in balance. Mutts. Mooch the cat is looking out at us with a very glum face. His eyes are droopy. His one ear is sagging to the side. He remarks, this is my I'm so bored of everything face. In the next frame, a long stick with a feather on top is brushed across the cat's head. Swish, swish. The cat's expression does not change. In the final frame, Mooch says, especially cat swishy toys. Macanudo. Two elves on either side of the older witch have recently lost all their color in this comic strip and then regained it. In the second frame, the younger witch has also regained color. Unfortunately, all of them are colored like rainbows. The first elf, wearing a blue and purple tunic, is sitting in the grass. His hat is blurred orange and yellow. He says, I feel strange. The older witch, who has a multicolored dress, stockings, and hat, replies, somewhat changed. Another colorful elf replies, I feel like a rainbow exploded next to me. Yet a third colorful elf adds, like I've been attacked by a box of crayons. A final elf puts his hands on his hips and says proudly, I think I pull it off. Hi, Aunt Lois. Trixie, the baby, is sitting on the floor in the living room. Her sister Dot, one of the twins, approaches while holding some hair curlers. Dot says to her little sister, I'm going to put these curlers in your hair, Trixie. Trixie appears confused and thinks to herself, why? In the final frame, Dot has finished rolling Trixie's hair into three curlers, one on the top and one on the side. The baby starts crying. Dot leans down and asks, "What's wrong?" Trixie squirms and thinks to herself, "My hair is naturally curly." Dustin, our favorite slacker, is sitting in the temp agency across from Simone, the agency manager. Simone is using her laptop to peruse Dustin's file. She remarks, "You're hopeless, Dustin." Dustin replies, "I'm doing the best I can." Simone looks down at her notes and replies, "That's what I just said." Blondie. Dagwood and Blondie are in their pajamas in bed. Blondie is trying to sleep, but Dagwood is reading a magazine. Dagwood says to his wife, "These magazine clothing ads are so boring. If I were a fashion designer, I'd create a poetic, catchy tagline like, 'There are buttons and bows to be had when you've got Dag swag.'" From the other side of the bed, Blondie replies, "I don't mean to be a nag, but Dag swag sounds bad." Dagwood turns off the light. As he gets comfortable in bed, he frowns and remarks, "Everyone's a critic." Bizarro. Two Tibetan monks in a temple are wearing bright orange robes, are chatting. One is holding an etch-a-sketch. The other monk points out, "It is only by drawing on the entire screen that one may reveal the inner workings." The text box reads, "Etch-a-sketch, koan." It's a Tibetan word for teaching, I believe. Beetle Bailey. General Halftrack shouts to his secretary from his office, "Have you seen my glasses, Miss Buckley?" Secretary shouts back into her boss's office, "Did you check the top of your head?" The general replies, "There's nothing up there." Miss Buxley, sitting at her desk working on her laptop, thinks to herself, "Well, that's old news." Mother Goose and Grimm. Mother Goose is looking through a brochure of new plays. She smiles and reads the title, "Dorian Gray, the Musical." She looks closer and notices, but there's a spoiler alert. Grimm, having heard this news, turns to Ralph, the other dog, and whispers, "It never gets old." Think about that one for a minute. The Other Coast. Coco's owner is sitting at the dinner table enjoying his dinner. He's a black and white dog, and he's sitting by his owner's side, peering up over the edge of a table, thinking to himself, "Drop it, drop it, drop it, drop it." Suddenly, his owner's fork slips, and a single pea flies off of his plate onto the floor. Coco keeps staring up at his owner. Finally, the owner says, "You don't want that pea?" The dog thinks to himself, "I'm working on your pork chop." The Duplex. Eno Camino and his yellow dog Fang are relaxing on the couch, watching TV and having a beer. Fang, "I noticed you didn't have a rebuttal to my argument. I guess that proves I'm right." Eno replies, "No, it doesn't." He takes a sip of his beer and continues, "Your buttle was so stupid that I didn't see the need to rebuttal it." Those two. Drabble. Ralph's wife, June, also known as Honeybunch, approaches her husband and hands him a grabber. This is a long pole with a handle on one end and two-pronged pieces like fingers that can help you pick up something from the floor. She says, "Here, I bought you a grabber. It might help your sore back." Ralph takes the grabber and pulls the trigger, causing the pronged pieces to come together. He smiles. Honeybunch adds, "You'll never have to pick up anything off the floor again." She turns to leave. "Enjoy." Ralph tries to pick up a tennis ball on the floor. He accidentally drops the grabber. He looks down at the ball and the grabber and sighs. Deflocked. Cobb, the tall dog, is standing outside in his field of maple trees. He has tapped them and has buckets placed underneath the taps to collect the maple syrup. Mammoth the sheep comes up to him with a woman carrying a bullhorn. Mammoth announces, "Okay, pal, your maple sugaring days are over. We're giving power back to the environment." Mamet turns to the woman named Sievert, who is an environmental activist with a bullhorn, and announces, "Let her rip!" The woman starts screaming through the bullhorn, "Hey, yo, what do you know? Evil Maplist gotta go." Mamet turns to her, confused. "Maplist?" The woman looks at Mamet and says, "We're on uncharted territory here." Non sequitur. We're in a downtown area where there is a theater building with a marquee that reads, "Live Tonight, Shakespeare in the Punk." And there's a man out in front with a spiked mohawk, a t-shirt with a skull imprinted on it, shorts and shoes. He's also holding an electric guitar like he's going to smash it on the ground. The text box reads, "Rebel Without Applause." That also happens to be the name of a book written by Jay Landsman in St. Louis back in the 70s about Gaslight Square. Lola, our favorite senior citizen, is golfing as she takes a swing in the first frame. She muffs the shot way out of bounds and shouts, "Mulligan!" This means she wants a do-over shot. By the way, it is against the rules. Looking at Max, her dog, she remarks, "It's early in the year. We won't count that one." As they're driving away in their golf cart, Max looks at us and says, "Does this make me an accessory to the crime?" Marmaduke. Phil, the big dog's owner, is sitting on the sofa while Marmaduke is lying on the sofa long ways, which means Phil is kind of crowded. Phil is shown with one leg astride the sofa's armrest. Phil announces, "I guess we both can't be comfortable." Ziggy. The little guy is looking at a sign on a city street which reads, "Quiet, hospital zone, captionless cartoons only." Garfield. Our favorite cat is standing on the bathroom scale as he glances down and remarks, "I gained a pound." In the next frame, Garfield is still looking at the scale as he adds, "It's probably just water weight." Then he turns to us and smiles and continues, "Well, maybe that and an 18-inch pizza." I'm hungry. Baby Blues. Daryl is sitting at the breakfast table while drinking a cup of coffee and chatting with his son Hammy and his daughter Zoe. Daryl, "Guys, this is the first day of your mom being at the writers' conference, so let's make it a good one." Daryl continues, "It's 7:30 now and the schedule says..." Then he has a blank stare on his face like he's a deer in the headlights. Daryl, "Wow," he exclaims, "we've already missed 7 deadlines." Hammy responds, "No wonder I feel so relaxed." Pickles. Earl is relaxing in his easy chair while Roscoe, the family dog, is snoozing on the floor. Earl says to Roscoe, "Hey, Roscoe, go fetch the remote for me." Roscoe does not respond. Earl has an exclamation point hovering over his head. Earl rises from the chair as he announces, "Lazy dog." Then Earl sits down again, this time with the remote, while Roscoe looks up at him and thinks, "Good boy." Pearls Before Swine. Goat and Rat are out in the meadow when Goat remarks, "What do you think is the key to manipulating others?" Rat replies, "Flatterizing them." Goat, "The word is flatter, not flatterize." Rat replies, "It's an honor to be around such genius." Zits. Jeremy is with his mother, Connie, as she hands him 2 bags of groceries. Jeremy, "I'm thinking about starting a podcast," to which she replies, "Oh, fun." Jeremy adds, "I just need to work out some technical issues." Connie, "Well, what will you talk about?" Jeremy, "Yeah, that's the issue." The Family Circus. It's the middle of the night, and Billy is standing next to Daddy's bed. Of course, Daddy is fast asleep, but not for long. Billy, "Daddy, does zillion come after trillion?" I'm not sure. Sally Forth. You recall that Laura, Sally's mother, has shown up unexpectedly, saying that she's fed up with living with Jackie, Sally's sister. Sally's been trying to reach Jackie to work things out. In the first frame, Sally is holding her head in her hands while listening to the cell phone. From the other side, we hear Jackie say, "I'm sorry you were surprised, but please, I need a break." She continues, "I need you to look after Mom for a little while." "I need this," Sally replies. "I know, I know." In the final frame, Jackie says, "I know, I know," while she's holding the phone. From the other side of her phone, we hear Sally reply, "I know, I know, I know, I know." Finally, Jackie announces, "I'm going to take all that as, of course, and not you saying you're screwed." Rhymes with orange. The text box reads, "After the storm." We're in a city street where four corners meet at an intersection being controlled by a traffic official holding a stop sign in the midst of steady auto traffic. A clothesline attached to a building with a large sign that reads "Laundromat" is on one corner. A similar clothesline leads from the same building to another building on the opposite side of the intersection. Various types of clothing are hung out to dry on these clotheslines. Meanwhile, two women are approaching the intersection as they are walking on the sidewalk. One woman says to the other, "When do you think the power will come back on?" Mutts. Stinky Pudding, the cat, looks at us and remarks, "This is my I can't deal with it face." His eyes are pinpoints and he appears distressed. In the next frame, Stinky's on a bed with his head under the covers and his hind end is exposed. In the next frame, he's under the covers altogether and we hear him say, "Under the covers." Macanudo. You recall the color is back in the comic strip and everyone is happy while singing and dancing about. One elf who has his hands in the air announces, "We should celebrate getting our colors back." The older witch is playing a concertina while the younger witch and the three elves are dancing. A quote hovers in the air above their heads. "Color is a power which directly influences the soul." It's signed by Wassily Kandinsky. Hi, and Lois. Ditto is playing catch with a teammate. Both are wearing a white t-shirt covering longer sleeve shirt and blue jeans. The ball hits his glove, whop, and he exclaims, "Ouch." In the next frame, he's holding his arm while his buddy wearing the same practice uniform is several feet away in a playground baseball diamond. Ditto, "Spring training is painful when it's still this cold." His buddy replies, "Throw the ball." Dustin. Helen, Dustin's mother, has just come in from outside from a shopping spree. She's carrying several boxes and a bag. She says to Ed, her husband, "I'm so glad our car alerts you when you're about to hit something." She continues, "I was backing into a parking space and I almost hit a motorcycle. I could have done some real damage." Ed replies, "Speaking of damage, we need some kind of an alert when you're about to go back into Nordstrom." That's an expensive store. Blondie. Dagwood is at the lunch counter in his favorite eatery, Lou's Diner, with a bowl of chili in front of him. He's talking to Lou, who's the chief cook and bottle washer, and who's also perusing a newspaper. Dagwood says to Lou, "What's with the easy listening music?" By the way, musical notes are wafting through the air above Dagwood's head. Lou replies, "Soothing, isn't it?" He then turns to Dagwood and continues, "I think it adds a nice ambiance to the dining experience." Dagwood looks at us with a puzzled look. In the final frame, Dagwood has arrived home from work, where Blondie greets him at the door. He strolls right past her while announcing, "I may have to start taking my lunch to work." "Oh, no, don't do that. We will miss Lou. He's fun." Bizarro. A court jester is in a judicial courtroom. He is wearing traditional jester's clothing, which includes a hat with three points, to which a jingle bell is attached to all three. He is also wearing a two-tone shirt, and he is holding a jester's staff, showing the small version of the jester's face, hat, and costume. The jester points out to the female judge, "I am familiar with the adage. Nonetheless, I stand by my choice of representation." He's referring to the adage, "He who will be his own counselor shall be sure to have a fool for a client." Beetle Bailey. Sarge is behind his desk and seems to be in a good mood. He is addressing Lieutenant Fuzz, who's walking by. Sarge, thanks for finishing the report for me, sir. Lieutenant Fuzz, you owe me one. With that, Sarge points to his dog, Otto, who has a miniature desk right next to Sarge's. Otto also dresses exactly like Sarge in a uniform, and Sarge announces, "You can borrow Otto for the day." Fuzz just glares at Sarge. Mother Goose and Grim. We're in a computer store where a sales lady behind the counter greets Mother Goose, who is clutching her laptop. Mother Goose, sorry, I can't trade in my old computer. The saleswoman replies, why not? Mother Goose replies, it knows too much. The other coast. Two sheep are at a bar in a tavern. They're each drinking a martini. They're both white. Coco, the black and white dog, is lying on the floor in back of them, looking at these two intently. One sheep says to the other, don't look now, Sheila, but there's a border collie staring at us. The duplex. Ino Camino and Fang, the yellow dog, are lying on their roof looking up at the starry night sky, as they are wont to do when they wax philosophical. Fang, you know what's wrong with sports? Not enough dogs. In the second frame, Fang continues, take any sport involving a ball, such as tennis, baseball, soccer. Now imagine you had three or four big, dumb Labrador retrievers. Eno replies, you're right. That could be a lot more entertaining. Drabble. Ralph is sitting in an easy chair while eating cheese balls out of a can. Then he looks in the next frame at the can, and it's empty. In the final frame, he shakes it to make sure it's empty and says, I hate it when I eat an entire can of cheese balls, especially since I can't stand them. Been there, done that. You've been listening to the Funny Pages. My name's Greg Conroy. This has been brought to you by the good folks at Mind's Eye Organization, helping the low vision and blind communities in the St. Louis region since 1973. Have a great week. Take care.
You are listening to Audio Journal, a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network.
There are more than 1 million English words. Next up, word nerd Steph Donoff with some of them worth talking about.
There is an itty-bitty, teeny-weeny fraction of English words that are taboo in polite society, especially on radio. And we are going to talk about them without saying any of them. You see, taboo words have medicinal value. A study at Oxford University showed that saying those taboo words increases your tolerance for pain. And you know the words I'm talking about. Scientists had people put their hands in ice water and asked them how much it hurt and saw how long they could keep their hands in it, saying, even shouting, imitation swear words like darn, shucks, heck, even fudge did not help as much as the taboo words. There's a certain emotional release and strength in saying taboo words when you are hurting. This does not mean you can swear the next time you stub your toe. Now you have a good excuse for when you do.
That's enough talk about words. Let's go back to listening to them.
Are you having difficulty with your eyesight? Are you losing your vision? Are you afraid of what comes next? If you're blind or visually impaired, contact Mass Commission for the Blind to find out if you're eligible to register for services. Learn new skills to reclaim your independence. Call 1-800-392-6450 or visit mass.gov/MCB. That's 1-800-392-6450.
Welcome to Everyday Poems for Every Day, sponsored by Audio Journal. Our poem today is Ode to a Nightingale. by John Keats. My heart aches, and a drowsy numbness pains my sense as though of hemlock I had drunk, or emptied some dull opiate to the drains 1 minute past, and Lethe wards had sunk. 'Tis not through envy of thy happy lot, but being too happy in thine happiness, that thou, light-winged dryad of the trees, in some melodious plot of beeches green and shadows numberless, singest of summer in full-throated ease. Oh, for a draught of vintage that hath been cooled a long age in the deep-delved earth, tasting of flora and the country green, dance and Provençal song and sunburnt mirth. Oh, for a beaker full of the warm south, full of the true, the blushful hippocrene, with beaded bubbles winking at the brim and purple-stained mouth, that I might drink and leave the world unseen, and with thee fade away into the forest dim. Fade far away, dissolve and quite forget, what thou among the leaves hast never known, the weariness, the fever, and the fret, here where men sit and hear each other groan, where palsy shakes a few sad last grey hairs, where youth grows pale and spectre thin and dies, where but to think is to be full of sorrow, and leaden-eyed despairs, where beauty cannot keep her lustrous eyes, or new love pine at them beyond tomorrow. Away, away, for I will fly to thee, not charioted by Bacchus and his pards, but on the viewless wings of Poesy, though the dull brain perplexes and retards already with thee. Tender is the night, and haply the queen moon is on her throne, clustered around by all her starry phase, but here there is no light, save what from heaven is with the breezes blown, through verdurous glooms and winding mossy ways. I cannot see what flowers are at my feet, nor what soft incense hangs upon the boughs, but in embalmed darkness guess each sweet wherewith the seasonable month endows the grass, the thicket, and the fruit tree wild, white hawthorn and the pastoral eglantine, fast-fading violets covered up in leaves, and mid-May's eldest child, the coming musk-rose full of dewy wine, the murmurous haunt of flies on summer eves. Darkling I listen, and for many a time I have been half in love with easeful death, called him soft names in many a mused rhyme, to take into the air my quiet breath. Now more than ever seems it rich to die, to cease upon the midnight with no pain, while thou art pouring forth thy soul abroad in such an ecstasy. Still wouldst thou sing, and I have ears in vain, to thy high requiem become a sod. Thou wast not born for death, immortal bird. No hungry generations tread thee down. The voice I hear this passing night was heard in ancient days by emperor and clown. Perhaps the self-same song that found a path through the sad heart of Ruth, when, sick for home, she stood in tears amid the alien corn, the same that oft-times hath charmed magic casements opening on the foam of perilous seas in fairy lands forlorn. Forlorn. The very word is like a bell to toll me back from thee to my soul-self. Adieu. The fancy cannot cheat so well as she is famed to do, deceiving elf. Adieu. Adieu. Thy plaintive anthem fades past the near meadows, over the still stream, up the hillside, and now it is buried deep in the next valley glades. Was it a vision, or a waking dream? Fled is that music. Do I wake or sleep? You've been listening to Everyday Poems for Every Day, sponsored by Audio Journal. Read by me, Nikki Wichelow. Thanks for listening.